not important. I'll have done this job for 22 years when I step down. He reminds me that in 28 years in the entertainment industry, he has taken only 1 week off. Over the course of our interviews, Eisner has mentioned to me several times the need to reduce stress, but always in the next breath, he says that work is what keeps him healthy. He does this again, telling me that his public relations advisor, Gershon Kext, has just told him that the key to longevity is to keep working into one's 90s. Finally, I ask him why, if he was resigning as CEO and planning to leave Disney, he waited 2 weeks to indicate that he didn't want to remain as chairman or as a board member. "I didn't realize it would be an issue," he said. Then he adds, "Besides, I didn't say I didn't want to be chairman. Xenia has been saying that," indicating Xenia Muka, who is sitting with us. "I don't want to be irrelevant. I'm not going to ask the board to be named chairman. I'm not going to beg for it. But the board might come to me. Then I'd have to consider it. Will I continue to play a creative role?" He ponders this for a moment. "That's up to Disney." Later, when I check Eisner's quoted remarks in Fortune and other media, I see he's technically correct. All he has said is that he won't ask the board to name him chairman, and doesn't expect to remain as a board member. He also said that Mitchell has assured him that the board will consider keeping him as chairman. Anyway, talking about the future is counterproductive. I'm looking forward to the next 2 years. I'm going to be even more involved in the creative process. It dawns on me that for Eisner, this war is hardly over. Unlike the long-ago boxing match at Camp Keewaydin, he is still standing. No wonder Roy Disney is wary. "I intend to create content forever," Eisner tells me, "or at least for as long as I can." Epilogue. No matter when or how Michael Eisner leaves Disney, even if he's carried out on his shield, as Stanley Gold predicted, nothing will erase his record of extraordinary achievement. There are many animated hits destined to be classics. The extensive film library, which grew from 158 to 900 theatrical releases during Eisner's tenure, the 140 Academy Awards, the acquisition of ABC, the explosive growth of the cable channels, especially ESPN and the Disney Channel, the Broadway shows and restored New Amsterdam Theater, the acclaimed architecture at the theme parks and at Disney's Burbank headquarters. Despite Roy's quibbles about maintenance and cleanliness standards at Disneyland and Disney World, the strong and unique culture of the theme parks endures. So does the Disney brand, even though Roy finds the notion of branding to be distasteful. Indeed, the Disney brand is so strong that it's often a constraint, despite Disney's efforts to develop independent brands under the Disney umbrella. Nor has Eisner been on a mission. Nor has Eisner been on a mission to impose traditional Disney values on the nation's culture. Disney, during the Eisner years, has tried to produce entertainment products that sell, and to do so has been willing to push the limits of the Disney brand. As Eisner put it in his film manifesto, "We have no obligation to make art. We have no obligation to make a statement."